If you enjoy our hymn studies, be sure to check out the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions. Praise and Honor contains a devotional for each stanza from hymns like God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, We Praise and Acknowledge You, O God, and more. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Praise and Honor, Hymn-Inspired Devotions.
Hello, neighbor.
Mr. Rogers,
I'm here to interview you.
It is so nice to meet you.
You okay?
Profiling Mr. Rogers.
Lloyd, please don't ruin my childhood.
This piece will be for an issue about heroes. Do you consider yourself a hero?
We are trying to give the world positive ways of dealing with their feelings.
Yeah? Like what?
There are many things you can do. You can play all the lowest keys on a piano at the same time.
Love broken people like me.
Sometimes we have to ask for help, and that's okay. I think the best thing we can do is to let people know that each one of them is precious.
That's an excerpt from the trailer for the forthcoming movie, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Tom Hanks depicting the iconic children's television pioneer Fred Rogers from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon. The New York Times has recently written about that film and about Tom Hanks depicting this iconic figure. Well, Fred Rogers was a deeply religious man. Did the New York Times ask Tom Hanks about his religion, his faith? We're going to be talking with Terry Mattingly about that New York Times art feature about Tom Hanks' role as Mr. Rogers in this forthcoming film a little bit later. Kylie Zempel will join us, assistant editor for The Federalist. We'll talk about the Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg's view of Christianity. It is very open. He has his own version of Christianity. It's not necessarily that of historic Christianity. Dr. Uwe Simonetto joins us to talk about the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. He was there when it was going up, and he was there shortly after it came down. Then Pastor Ted Geese will be alongside. We'll be reviewing the movie Dr. Sleep, the sequel to Stephen King's The Shining. Joining us to talk about a New York Times art feature about Tom Hanks and the role as Mr. Rogers in a forthcoming film, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
We have talked in the past about how the media need to delve a little deeper into Tom Hanks' faith. We're going to talk about Hanks today, but what's different about today's conversation?
Well, what really is different, people keep writing features that essentially are asking the question, is it possible that Tom Hanks is as good a person as he appears to be? Or even that he's as good a person as everyone says he is? So people keep probing this Jimmy Stewart-like everyman character of Tom Hanks. And I have argued in the past that it would be good to ask him some questions about his religious faith, because this is something he hasn't discussed often, but he and his wife, Rita Wilson, have talked about it some. And in one case, during the press events for the movie, controversial movie, Angels and Demons, I had a chance to ask Tom Hanks about how his religious faith and his beliefs impacted, you know, his work. And he gave an answer that we've talked about before. But what makes it different this time is that the whole purpose of this New York Times arts feature, and by the way, it is an excellent feature. People will enjoy reading it. They will learn a lot, and it's very moving. My point is, could it have been even better if a logical step had been taken? And the logical step has two parts. One, we're not just dealing in this case with why is Tom Hanks such a good man. The essential point of the article is to ask a question about Tom Hanks's character, his compassion, his approach to dealing with other people. In other words, we're supposed to try to understand what makes this guy different from so many other people in the stereotypical Hollywood rat race. Well, I would argue, as I did before when you and I talked about this, that that is an essentially religious question. Okay, but now he's playing a man who is, and I'm still amazed there are many people who don't know this, Rogers, Fred Rogers, was an ordained Presbyterian minister with an earned MDiv in theology. And he went to the seminary with some very specific theological questions in mind that he felt he needed to deal with in depth if he was going to continue to look through that lens and out into the minds and hearts of millions of very, very young children. And Rogers was determined to not hide hard questions from children. And he, at several occasions, he explicitly said that his goal was to be a neighbor. Now, a guy with an MDiv in New Testament theology knows that the word neighbor comes with very interesting and explicit biblical overtones. Luke 10, just to start, you know, when you're dealing with the story of the Good Samaritan, which all builds up to the question, who is my neighbor? What does it mean to be a neighbor? I had a chance once to interview Fred Rogers' own pastor, and he said that for Fred Rogers, everything in his work began with the word neighbor. And what did it mean to relate to the people around him, and above all, to relate to these children as a trusted neighbor who wanted what was best for them and wanted to help them? So we've got an ordained minister, and through all the years of people writing about Fred Rogers, one of the biggest questions on every mind is, could Fred Rogers possibly be as good a person as he appeared? Was he some kind of living saint, which is something he, of course, would deny, but people kept asking the question, was he a saint-like figure? Was he more like a television pastor to these children than like the uncle, you know, down the block, or the grandfather? So how do you deal with Rogers on the question, why is he so uniquely good and compassionate, being played by Tom Hanks, about whom for several decades now we've had stories about why is he the good person that he appears to be? Could he possibly be that nice, kind, and compassionate, etc.? Now, one more thing, the second layer of this, as I put it. The film itself, this movie, now we had a brilliant documentary about Rogers just a year or so ago, which everybody should see. That's amazing. But in this time, we're talking about a fictional film with Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers. And the pivotal moment in the story, at least I haven't seen the film yet, but based on the descriptions I'm reading, the pivotal moment comes out of a real event. You had a magazine writer who was doing a profile of Fred Rogers. This magazine writer had certain issues in his personal life and private life. He was beginning to feel, was my soul, by being a journalist, have I become too hard-hearted? Have I become too uncompassionate? Am I too blunt, you know, as a journalist? Now, in the movie, they've changed the name of the writer from the real guy's name. But it seems like they've left the exact construction of the film the same. And in the real story, in the thing that actually happened, the crucial moment is when this reporter finally, you know, Mr. Rogers has really gotten under his skin. And at a crucial part in the real story, he asks Fred Rogers to pray for him face to face. And Fred Rogers says, of course. And they stop, and he prays for this man. And, you know, he prays for, you know, his family. He prays that his questions will be answered. And the man in his article said that his heart felt like a spike. And then in that room, it opened up, and it felt like an umbrella. That just being around this guy made him a different person. Rogers started praying for this reporter and his family every day after that. And apparently this showed up in the files of Mr. Rogers, because he opened a file in his mail files about this reporter and their relationship. So they have things to work with in the archives. And they found a note from Fred Rogers to this reporter on how to be a better journalist. And number one was, remember that journalists are human beings, not stenographers. You're a human being, not an automaton. Number two, point out injustice when you have to. Three, point out beauty whenever you can. Four, be aware of celebrating the wonders of creation. Now, that's not an evangelistic track, but would you say there's some theology tied up in that?
Without a doubt.
So, in this New York Times article, the fact that Rogers is a minister is never mentioned. The prayer is mentioned briefly, and there are some other kind of oblique references to faith. You know, when this thing comes out, I'm going straight to a theater. I can't imagine that they could tell this story in a film without realizing that that prayer is the crucial moment in the relationship between this reporter and Fred Rogers. So my point here is, how do you not dedicate at least a couple of paragraphs to the faith of Fred Rogers? And then probably ask Tom Hanks, who is an extremely literate man, and by the way, I happen to know he's Greek Orthodox, he's in a church where he's going to hear the entire Bible read to him in services about every third year. You're going to hear the whole cycle of Scripture. Tom Hanks is known and celebrated for his curiosity, the way he probes the inner motivations of people, his literate, caring, knowledgeable approach to the people whose lives he plays. Can you imagine a scenario under which Tom Hanks doesn't read up on and explore the faith of Fred Rogers? I can't. So I'm wondering, once again, this is an excellent article. It's a sensitive article. But why leave out the faith component in the life of an ordained, seminary-educated, Presbyterian, ordained evangelist? He considered himself a kind of evangelist on TV. He didn't believe that he was issuing altar calls or something like that, but he believed he had been handed the lives of children and that he was to treat them with the utmost care. He called the space between himself and the child, when he looked through that lens, he imagined he was talking to a child. And Fred Rogers repeatedly said that space between him and the child was holy ground.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about a New York Times art feature about Tom Hanks' role as Mr. Rogers in a forthcoming film. When we come back, Hanks is doing a lot of press for the film. He has been asked about kind of taking on this character of Fred Rogers. I wonder why he has not yet been asked, as far as I can see, what made Mr. Rogers tick. We'll find out after this.
Do you want want to spend more time in God's Word, but your tight schedule doesn't permit you to sit down with your Bible? Do you sometimes find the Bible confusing? Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. You can listen and study anytime, anywhere, on your commute, at the gym, or while doing housework. Learn more at thewordendures.org. Thewordendures.org.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a New York Times art feature about Tom Hanks' role as Mr. Rogers in a forthcoming film. Terry Mattingly is our guest, senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, I was watching some of the press because I'm a big Hanks fan and a big Mr. Rogers fan, and I've noticed that Hanks has been very honest that when he started doing research for this role, he didn't get Mr. Rogers until he realized, oh, Mr. Rogers is talking to that child on the other side of the lens. Then he said, I started to understand the man. But you can't, you know, the biggest challenge here is to play Mr. Rogers and not play him in a way that seems to be mocking this man, because he was just a big sweetheart. And I wonder, in any of those pressers, has someone just come out and asked Hanks, in your research for the role, have you discovered what made Mr. Rogers such a nice guy?
Well, I've just been looking around, and the Associated Press story, Hanks does get into the fact that Rogers is a minister, but that Rogers had made the decision to never explicitly talk about God. And I think that's accurate. And having talked to Rogers' own pastor a year or two ago, at the time the documentary was coming out, I kind of know the answer to that question. Rogers decided that it would be kind of controversial if he started talking about God, talking to children, and made a big deal of him being a Christian minister. So what he did instead was he would say that he took on topics that for him were intensely religious and theological, and that he would use biblical language, but he stopped short on public television. He stopped short of actually turning it into Christian broadcasting. And when we say what kinds of subjects, this is where Hanks and this film, once again, I guarantee you, 100 million to 1 odds, these things are in the movie. He was very intense in talking about why children face bad things, why children face painful things. Now, once again, a seminary-educated MDiv is going to realize that he's dealing with theological territory here, and specifically a word that you and I have talked about many times, which is theodicy. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is there pain in the world? Why is there suffering in the world? Or, putting it at the level of a 3-year-old, why are there scary things in the world? Why are there things that scare you? Now, this was where Rogers was at his best and was also truly a trailblazer in doing a show for very young children and taking on subjects like death, taking on subjects like, I mean, having a puppet ask, what's an assassination, you know, in the wake of the death of Robert F. Kennedy, violence, war, divorce, his incredible pastoral sense when handling a child visiting the show who's handicapped, you know, and being able to make that child feel at home and talk about it. What's interesting is Hanks, because he got this from Fred Rogers' wife, said, instead of mocking the man, the difficulty is trying to play him without turning him into a saint. This is not St. Francis of Assisi in a cardigan sweater, in a zip-up sweater, trying to get him the human being and as a man on the screen, he said, was actually harder. It would have been easy to have played him strictly as some sort of inspired saint-like character. So I'm really anxious to see what makes it into the movie as opposed to what made it into the New York Times, to make a distinction. And I want to make sure listeners know that at this point I have not seen a review copy of the film or something. So I could be describing a film that actually ends up being intensely religious. There's a scene, and there's no words from it, so we can't tell exactly what's happening. But in the trailer, there's an image of Hanks as Rogers kneeling in his pajamas at his bedside, holding what appears to either be a prayer book or a New Testament. And just the gesture of kneeling at his bedside, it's pretty obvious that this is a prayer situation. So for all I know, him praying for this journalist may be a key theme in the movie, and that may be something that goes on and on. And frankly, I hope so, because that's a critical part of the true story. So I guess, once again, to sum it up, I'm wondering why parts of the true story get into the New York Times story and get into some of the journalism about this movie. Why do parts of the facts of the story get in, but other facts don't get in? And those facts just happen, as we so often see, happen to be the factual material about this man's religious beliefs.
Could it come down to something as simple as, and I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but that journalists, as cynical as they are and have become in many cases, just don't get a man like Fred Rogers. They just don't understand how someone could be the way he was.
Well, in this case, that's what makes it really so strange, because we're dealing with journalism about journalism. It's a journalism article that at the heart of the article, besides the mystery of Tom Hanks, at the heart of the article is this encounter between another journalist and Fred Rogers. See what I'm getting at? So it's journalism about journalism. And at the foundation level, that original article got Fred Rogers and got his faith. So if it was in the original article on which this film is inspired, once again, why not include it? Now, if we want to get really cynical, I've had people from Hollywood continue to remind me, don't forget the international audience. They could have been worried that some explicit reference to him being an ordained Christian minister might have prevented the film from making it in to certain marketplaces around the world, whether that's highly secularized Europe or China or Muslim nations. You'd be amazed how often people in Hollywood bring up this subject, that producers are just convinced that the mention of controversial topics, and Christianity would be a controversial topic, that the mention of controversial topics can cost you at the box office in the international market. So once again, though, that's a question about the movie. That's not a question about the New York Times feature, which could have covered whatever it wanted.
I remember where I was when I heard about Fred Rogers dying in 2003. It's one of those kind of events. I grew up with it, so you just remember those things. he was given a very, very Christian farewell. He was even actually given last rites before his death by a Roman Catholic priest, even though he was not Catholic. I wonder if, as people delve into his life more deeply, they will begin to kind of inevitably have to describe the role of faith in the television star's life.
Yeah, like I said, Roger's own pastor didn't think that there was any way you could expose yourself to a lot of material just of Roger's own work on camera. He didn't think that you could expose yourself to much of that work and not hear the religious language and see the religious content. As if you knew he was a pastor, if you knew he was an ordained clergyman, how could you not see the biblical language in what he did? So it's going to be most strange if this film leaves that out. And frankly, I'll be shocked if they leave it out. But then again, you know, we had that very beautiful and well-done biographical film recently on the young life of J.R.R. Tolkien, and his Catholicism was given extremely little content in the film. And people once again said, well, don't forget, they're worried about the film not being able to play in global audiences. So maybe this is a case of follow the money, but that doesn't excuse the New York Times editors from printing an article with a very large ordination-shaped hole in it, to create a metaphor building on God-shaped hole. There's a fact about Roger's life that's not in this story, and there is a fact about Tom Hanks's life that's not in the story. And I think it's a crucial fact in terms of how Hanks would have chosen to relate to Roger's and to try to figure out his character.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's also founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thanks, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Glad to do so.
Kylie Zempel joins us on the other side of the break. She's assistant editor for The Federalist and recently written a column titled Why Pete Buttigieg is the Most Destructive Candidate for Christianity. We'll be talking about what she means by that on the other side. Then Dr. Uwe Simonetto joins us. We'll get his reflection on the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues, etc. journal. Learn more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues, etc. congregational sponsor in 2020.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is amid Willamette Valley LCMS congregation, where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast, or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.